Hello, I'm Mark Coles, heading down the garden, past the children's trampoline and the vegetable beds, towards my shed for the start of this, the second instalment of Media Futures, a series in which a slightly anxious BBC has asked me to peer into a crystal ball to see if I can find out where our established media might be heading over the next few years. So, why in here? Why in my shed? Well, in here, squashed in between the garden hose pipe, pots of paint, compost, coal, even slug pellets and all the other usual garden paraphernalia, is the nerve centre of my broadcasting empire. Each week, from here, with my son's duvet draped over my head to try to muffle the sound of passing commuter trains, I present a radio programme called, naturally enough, The Shed, a weekly look at the best new music releases from around the planet.
I'm Mark Coles in the shed in a bit of pain this week. Had a tooth pulled out yesterday.
While its origins might be humble, thanks to modern technology, what begins in a shed at the bottom of an English suburban garden is soon on air via my website. So simple, even a Luddite like me can do it.
Some great records for you this week from Lebanon, Iceland, New Zealand and Canada, among others.
Now, there's method in this madness, because this week's programme is all about radio and what might become of it. Will you still be listening to the likes of me in years to come, or will radio follow the likes of newspapers that we heard about last week into an uncertain future hounded out by the dreaded internet? Well, let's get started at the mic and find out.
Radio is about intimacy. One person talking to another over the airwaves. The unique relationship between presenter and listener is at the heart of radio's enduring appeal. And unlike newspapers, which we heard about last week, the internet doesn't seem to be threatening radio. If anything, as my Shed programme demonstrates, it's actually helping to spread the word and deliver content to new places and audiences all around the world. But what is changing is the medium itself, and in some places, not necessarily where you might expect, that evolution is proving quite radical.
This is WTOP News, traffic, weather, on air, online, mobile. WTOP-FM Washington, WTOP-FM Braddock Heights, Frederick, WWWTFM Manassas, Fredericksburg, worldwide on WTOP.com.
Good morning, I'm Mark Lewis.
And I'm Deborah Feinstein.
My name is Jim Farley. I'm the Vice President of News and Programming at WTOP in Washington, D.C. WTOP is the all-news radio station in the nation's capital, but it's an organization that has evolved. We're no longer just a radio station. We are a digital news organization. Radio is just one of our distribution channels. So is Facebook and Twitter, web, email, text, and mobile.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and get WTOP.com on any web-enabled mobile device.
We know that there's different kinds of audience. When we've done focus group with listeners, the shocker was that people between the ages of 30 and 40, most don't have a radio in their homes. They do not own a radio. But they do a lot of listening to audio, whether it's streaming audio on the web or audio that they get sent to them by friends in social media. And so when we break a story, we break it across all platforms at the same time. There's no notion of, we'll wait till we get it on the radio first. Let me give you a tour of the glass enclosed nerve center. Come on out and have a look. This big screen television in the newsroom gives us a look at what our own listeners, viewers, readers are reading on our page. This column lists the most read stories of the last hour. This tells us how many page views we had yesterday, how many unique users we had yesterday. This other panel lists the referring domains, where people are coming from to WTOP.com, and it also shows us the search cloud, the terms that people are searching for on WTOP.com. And this is our clue to help our editors decide what are the most important stories, or maybe that's a hot topic. So it's real-time feedback from our listeners, and it's a very helpful tool. And now I'll take you into the traffic center. This is where we do traffic reports. Bob Marburg here has been doing this for over 30 years. Amy's producing for him and also sending out tweets. You see, she's got TweetDeck up there. She's following everything that mentions D.C. traffic, Maryland traffic, Virginia traffic, or WTOP. And she's looking for information as well as disseminating it.
They got an hour truck now, but otherwise all is safe.
TweetDeck is an application that monitors traffic on Twitter, allowing users like WTOP to see at a glance what people are tweeting about. And it's a key part of that all-important interaction with the audience.
We're asking people for video, we're asking them for photos, we're asking them to participate and provide. There are more of them out there than we can ever have journalists here. And hopefully they'll feel a sense of community with us.
Worldwide on WTOP.com.
Good morning, I'm Mark Lewis.
So with its listener-generated snaps, reports and videos of roadworks, road rage and occasional road hogs, WTOP shows us how radio is preparing for a media future which will be all about interaction with audience, where content is likely to be broken up, then reformed and reused by others, like social media or recommendation sites. Listeners will also be viewers and readers as different media converge. So welcome to the brave new interactive world of Whisper It Radio. Or is it? There is another surprising side to the story of radio in the US. Away from the social media modernisers, it turns out good old-fashioned radio is doing just fine, thank you very much. So, how come?
My name is Richard Harker, president of Harker Research. We're a market research company for broadcast media, cable, and we work in the United States, Europe, as well as Central America. A station like WTOP is laying the groundwork for the listener of 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And so they've devoted a great deal of their resources into developing the internet product. But the fact remains that the vast majority of their revenue comes from the radio side. So from a product standpoint, they're much more than a radio station. From a business standpoint, they're very much a radio station.
We believe it's very complementary. You know, we can get people to listen based on what we say on social media. We can get people to go to our Facebook page based on what we say on the radio. It's very complementary, and it will allow us to grow the audience. The largest share of profits by far is on the broadcast side, but the fastest growing end is on the digital side.
We've looked at the transition from over-the-air listening to streaming. And the rate suggests that it could be decades before even a majority of listeners are using streaming, let alone the vast majority of radio listening over streaming. The rates right now would suggest that by 2030, less than half of listeners will be listening by streaming.
Well, here in my garden shack, I do stream my weekly shed broadcast. But admittedly, compared to the numbers who listen on good old-fashioned radio, the online audience is still very small. So why is radio, even in the most sophisticated market in the world, still so conventional? Well, part of the reason, in the US at least, is the intrinsically local nature of radio. Let's turn that dial again and tune into a different broadcaster, one that still calls itself a radio station.
WBBB Raleigh, The Triangle.
Radio. My name's Jay Nackless. I'm the program director of Radio 96.1, which is a rock station here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of Curtis Media Group.
Curtis! My man!
Radio 96.1 is, I think, a reflection in many ways of this area. We're a rock station, but we play what people here locally tell us to play, which is a really interesting variety of rock and roll. Everything, for example, from Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi, and the Bare Naked Ladies to AC/DC. When I'm listening to local radio, not only am I getting that intimacy from a local personality, the commercials are local, at least many of them are, and the contests are local. There's something about hearing that connection to your local place that's very different than those digital experiences.
I'm Adam Masano, and I'm the Senior Vice President and Director of Sales for the Curtis Media Group. If we talked to the people in Raleigh-Durham the same way that people talk to them in Atlanta, Georgia, it wouldn't work because the tastes and flavors and cultures are all different. So the FM stations, or AM stations, if you will, they're talking in the tongue that is native to the area.
Radio is great at being local. The problem for internet radio broadcasters is that across the United States, about half the audience for radio streamed over the internet is outside the immediate local area. So, ironically, in this medium, the web's global reach seems to be working against it, detracting from the tight communities that radio audiences so often represent.
The big satellite companies, if you will, they can say, you're looking for 35 to 44-year-olds. I can give you X millions of them, X thousands of them. But they can't tell you what are they going to do that day in Greensboro, North Carolina, or that day in Raleigh, North Carolina, or that day in Charlotte, North Carolina. But they can't get that intimate with the people living in their geographic backyard. If there was a case that could be made that they could do that, you would be seeing a lot more struggle going on with the traditional radio outlets. When large things come at us, the advantage is to get small.
So, small is beautiful, whether it be sheds or car workshops. We're back to that intimacy thing that we kicked off talking about. And it's not only about connecting with the audience in terms of the programming. At one of 96.1's local advertisers, in between pumping up their customers' tyres, they're listening to local radio, partly to hear and broadcast their own distinctive local commercials.
This is Gerald Lemoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, where we deliver the performance promise and the wow. And on behalf of everyone at...
Well, our customer base is typically, we call it the triangle. It's the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Central Triangle of North Carolina. So we rather put our money into a specific market and do it really well in the area that our buyer lives and listens in. I mean, when you're on a local FM station, you're talking to people that live and work and buy cars in your market or service cars in your market area, whereas the internet is around the country, you know. At some point, even 100 or 200 miles away, so you're not going to get a return on your investment.
Who cares about ho, ho, ho when you have wow, wow, wow this holiday season?
We call it the wow experience here, and I'm kind of got a little reputation as being the wow guy, because we talk about wow meaning great service, great people, great value. It's the wow experience at Performance, and now I get people walk up to me and go, you're the wow guy.
PerformanceSubaru.com. Wow.
I don't think it's something you do easily on the internet, because the internet is such a one-on-one medium. You know, you go there to research by yourself, so you don't get anything to come out and touch you. You want it to be impersonal. Whereas somebody, when they create this wow, it connects Gerald, who's running the auto dealership, to the listeners. And when they go there, they feel that they know him, they have a connection with him, and it comes across as such when you see him.
Radio is a local medium in the U.S.
The radio consultant, Richard Harker, again.
The majority of dollars spent on radio are local dollars, which means local stores, local advertisers. And so their interest is in reaching local people. And the research so far is that about half of the streaming audience of a local radio station is outside their immediate area, which means that right now no station is making a profit on their stream. And that's for the foreseeable future. It may never cover its cost.
With old-style advertising models still holding their own, in the US at least, the future of traditional radio broadcasting looks secure. Or wow, 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 as Gerald might have put it. If you want radical change, a real radio shake-up, you need to shift continents.
Welcome to Freedom Phone. To interrupt this menu, press the hash key, followed by your selection. To repeat this menu, press the star key. Press 1 for today's highlighted session. Choose 2.
In the past, sub-Saharan Africa hasn't had much of a reputation as a new media trailblazer, but in radio terms, it's been reinventing the wheel, or at least the knob.
My name is Brenda Burrell. I work for the Kubatana Trust of Zimbabwe as the technical director. Kubatana is a not-for-profit organization that was established to offer information services to ordinary Zimbabweans. And we use a system called Freedom Phone.
We will be updating our information daily. Follow the menu options to pick whatever gets you going.
Freedom Phone is, I think, somewhat unique in that it enables organizations to offer information to the public without a requirement for the internet from the user's perspective and from the caller's perspective.
At its most basic level, Freedom Phone allows its users to exchange messages by voice or SMS, a plea for medical help perhaps, or a weather report from the isolated countryside. These messages can be dialed up by others later on using their own cell phones. But take it up a step and it can act as much, much more. A sort of mini radio station, on demand, wherever you can access a mobile phone signal, providing the sort of things you might expect from major broadcasters, albeit in small, phone-friendly chunks.
We've actually experimented with micro-audio dramas where each episode is not longer than 2 minutes. Press one for episode one, press two for episode two, and that way a caller could walk their way through the entire drama.
So, Tariro, shut the door and come and sit down. Make yourself comfortable. We are pleased to have you working here.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kunaka. I'm very excited to be here.
Good, good.
Tariro on Top was the first micro-audio drama that we created, and it focuses on the plague of sexual harassment in the workplace. The story of a young woman who's been promoted to go and work for a senior office manager, and she's very excited about this fact. But it doesn't take long before he reaches out to touch her leg, and so the story unfolds.
Mr. Kunak, please, I just want to work.
Yes, and if you want to work, you will come back here and sit down right now.
Okay.
And I will put my hand right here, or even further up.
What will Tariro do? To find out more, press 3.
And we found that people sometimes would listen to literally 10 minutes worth of audio because they would slowly but surely walk through the episode. In other cases, people would come back over a period of time to finish out listening to the drama.
Freedom Phone is just one example of what appears to be a rapid growth of dial-up radio and other forms of cell and smartphone broadcasting across Africa. It could soon become the primary medium for audio content, possibly even video in the future.
My name is Adam Clayton Powell III, University of Southern California, Center for Communications, Leadership and Policy. For just over 30 years now, I've been doing work in Africa with media, and over again I saw the phrase, no internet needed. So these are things that run on 3G and 4G cell phones, things like Freedom Phone, which is done in Harare, applications like iCow and iFarm, which won the annual software contest in Nairobi. It's a way of using telephones that may in fact spread. Telephone penetration in some countries has now exceeded radio penetration, which is extraordinary.
There have been several striking things in Africa. Probably the most striking, of course, is the growth of the population that owns mobile devices.
Gwendolyn F. Dillard, director of the Africa division at Voice of America, one of the legacy media providers who are starting to take advantage of the new mobile opportunities across Africa.
There's no place on the face of the earth where the mobile ownership population is growing as fast as it is in Africa. That's what they're using. So we go where the audience is.
The Voice of America is now producing newscasts for cell phones, not for broadcast. These are just for cell phones, so that you can pick up your cell phone, you can punch in a number, and for free, you will be able to get a 3-minute newscast from Voice of America. It sounds almost a bit like Back to the Future, but what VOA has discovered is that in, to take an extreme example, northern Mali, where the insurgents had terrorized the broadcasters, news is not available over radio or television, but there people could simply pick up their cell phone, punch in the code, and get the news.
When jihadists took over in northern Mali, they shut down these stations. So the question was that we want to get news information not to radio stations, but to people, to individual people. How do we do that? And the answer was through mobile devices on a mobile platform, and we developed something called Mali One.
Mali One, bulletin d'information spécial Mali de la Voix de l'Amérique.
This is how we deliver news 3 times a day on a mobile platform. Each one lasts 3 minutes, and it's kind of just a running newscast.
On demande au militaire malien, venez à Kidal.
So, Voice of America is using mobile to broadcast, but also to gather news via citizen journalists. All that without the need for expensive satellites or feeds. Rather clever, really. It's a new medium, a bit like radio, but not quite.
mobile platforms as we use them are not pushing out radio or the legacy media by any means. But the point is to look not at what's happening now, but look at what is going to be happening in the next 2 or 3 years. And it's very clear to us now that some of these trends of legacy media are already starting to flatten out. And at the same time, we see the growth rate of mobile just shooting up. It's explosive. So I think that it only makes sense to plan for the future, and the future is going to be mobile.
The simplicity of the cell phone platform is well suited to places like Africa, where wired internet and broadcast infrastructure isn't always commonplace. But as 3G and 4G phone technology become more widespread, it's likely to become more sophisticated. As it is now, it already offers that holy grail of broadcasting we've been hearing about, how to combine intimacy and knowledge of your audience, even more so than traditional radio.
One of the differences, of course, is that radio speaks to masses of people and mobile platforms speak to individuals. It's possible to use this technology to provide these individuals specifically with what they need to know through mobile devices, so that when their child wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and seems to be very ill, you can put the child's symptoms onto the mobile device, communicate with the doctor, who can get back to you on that device with the kind of information that you need.
I think that radio broadcast is going to continue to be a very important and powerful medium. But when you combine it with tools like SMS, like Freedom Phone, which offers the ability for a listener to call back and leave a voice message as feedback, then I think you can really seriously start talking about relationships and two-way communication. And I think that's very exciting for radio.
Interactive, a two-way process? Sounds familiar. It's certainly a model that Jim Farley would recognise back at WTOP, the futuristic internet-orientated news provider in Washington, D.C.
About a year ago, a straight-line storm came through, a very violent, surprising windstorm, and it was just devastating in terms of people without power. And the next morning, I opened up TweetDeck, and it had turned into a local wire service with our listeners sharing information. Here's a gas station that's still open. Here's a store that still has ice. I've seen power utility trucks here, but no utility trucks there. It became a local wire service. So it's definitely a two-way conversation. It's not just, we're here telling you what's going on. We're engaged with you. We're sharing information.
Radio's come an awful long way since the early experiments of Marconi and Nikola Tesla at the end of the 19th century. A remarkable journey that in the space of 100 years or so has taken us from dot-dash radio telegraphy to the birth of the Radio Corporation of America, the BBC, commercial radio, FM, then digital radio, ever evolving on, and now in the 21st century spreading out across the internet and onto the mobile phone. What happens next? Well, as with all future media, it's likely we'll be talking back to radio more and more, perhaps even using radio, assuming we still call it that, as a message board for specific communications, or using it to target even smaller groups of people. Yet the story of radio also shows us how in media futures, change doesn't always mean the end of what's gone before. Existing media can be augmented by the new. Whether streamed on the web, sent direct to your mobile phone, or indeed broadcast old style over the airwaves, the essential nature of the radio medium looks likely to endure. And even the most futuristic of crystal ball gazers would accept that.
It's the story of the evolution of media everywhere, that new media keep developing, whether it's radio. Radio didn't supplant newspapers. Television didn't supplant radio. They kept adding to it. And this is, in a way, the latest iteration, that now you can reach people through this other device, which is in their pocket. It doesn't replace AM or FM radio. It's just a new way of doing it.
People in the United States have been predicting the demise of radio since the 1920s. They predicted its demise with the first talking motion picture, with the advent of Technicolor movies, with the advent of television, color television, cable, and MTV. And yet radio has been able to evolve and reinvent itself. It's still here. We still reach 93% of the American audience per week. Radio probably doesn't do as good a job at public relations as some of the new media, but it's a strong story to tell.
Absolutely lovely. Are featured tracks on that album?
Which, frankly, is a bit of a relief for me, sat here in my humble shed. My radio refuge, my lo-fi last stand in a changing broadcasting environment. So, radio survives, for the time being, possibly thanks to its Cinderella status. The fact that it's always been the poor relation, the undersung, much-neglected cousin of the high-tech, glitz and glamour communications world. Well, as we heard last week, newspapers have struggled with the advent of the digital age. Radio tends to be fast and adaptable. It thinks on its feet and talks in a conversational style, all of which suits this new want-it-as-it-happens internet world. But radio is also the antithesis of our onwards technological march to greater automation and computerization. Radio connects on an individual level. It's one human being talking to another, telling stories, conveying emotion, reaching out in the dark of the night or in times of trouble and confusion to comfort, counsel, and remind us just who we are. Next week on Media Futures, we'll be doing it with pictures. It's television's turn to see what lies ahead. In the meantime, if you don't mind, I've got to bid farewell to the Shed faithful.
Here's his band. Again, not sure if you'll find this in your high street music store, if you're still lucky enough to have one.